Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
The kids these days, they say filters are so last year, but what if we used AI?
Ooh, and what if you could write your very own book using your pictures? I'll show you how.
And what if I told you you can now browse through your photos even if your hands are covered in cupcake icing?
I'd say pshaw, it's iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/iOS today. And by Tracker. Tracker makes losing things a thing of the past. Pair Tracker to your smartphone and attach it to any item. Then find its precise location with a tap of a button. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter the promo code iOS today for 30% off your entire order. Woohoo! iOS today, and Megan's back, and you're tanned and you're rested and you're ready to iOS.
Yes. I would love to say that I left all my devices at home and never picked one up the entire time, but that's not the kind of person I am.
I know that's not true because I saw lots of pictures.
I took lots of pictures.
Some Snapchat filters, I believe, as well.
Yes. I Snapchatted, I Twittered, I Facebooked. Maybe my next vacation I'll leave the devices at
home. Actually, I enjoy it because that way I get to go on vacation. Kind of with you.
Yeah.
Which your husband's asked me to stop doing.
Yes. He has. Among the many things my husband's asked you to stop doing, that's one of them. Here, I have a picture of what my Apple Watch shows that I was on vacation last week.
You went to Cancun, right?
I did, yeah. But that's what happens when you're on vacation.
Oh, you did not move much.
No. I never got off the chair, basically. Isn't that sad?
Oh, but that's great. It was on the beach,
yes,
right?
But I did swim around in the ocean. Like, I swam laps in the ocean, but I didn't wear my watch. And, like, everyone I was with got really tired of me saying, like, I don't have my Apple Watch. It's like I'm not exercising.
Wow, you're really addicted.
I am.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. But as Lisa keeps telling me, you know you did the exercise. So what does it matter if the watch doesn't know?
Yeah. I need to keep telling myself that. Yeah. So we're not talking about vacation today. We're going to talk about photos. Not necessarily photo filters, but turning your photos into art. And last week while I was gone, Prisma sprung onto the scene, which apparently uses artificial intelligence and is better than filters. But you say it's been done, Meg.
You know what's funny is if Pokemon Go hadn't come out a couple of days later, Prisma would be like the social media hit of the year. Everybody was using it. You saw Prisma effects everywhere. But it got just kind of eclipsed by Pokemon Go.
That's true.
I think it's a great program, and I think people are doing some really interesting things with it. Let's see what you do with it.
You know, it's one of those that is an iPhone-only app, unfortunately. So I can show it to you on my iPad.
This is really where the idea of having a camera, a good camera, as is on the iPhone, attached to a really powerful computer, really changes the idea of photography in general. Are you going to take a picture of me?
Yes.
Should I look? How should I look? I'll pretend I'm Napoleon.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
You're in the middle of talking, shockingly.
Yeah. Well.
So what filter should we? We've used many.
You came back sassy.
I did. I did come back sassy. Let's try it. So I took a picture.
One thing I like is that every time you do it, the filters are in a different order. Because, you know, with Instagram, you always use kind of the same filters because that's what's there.
So that's
this is another thing I want to point out about Prisma. It has a magical ability to emphasize facial lines and wrinkles.
You know, it does lines. I think that is interesting. But sometimes it's good. I think it does shadowing sometimes.
Well, and I guess this is one of the things I'm trying to discover with Prisma is it does a better job on some kinds of photos than others. Andy Yanako took a picture of a flower that he Prismed, and it blew me away.
Yeah, I Prismed a lot of pictures of you that before the show. This is my favorite one.
Yeah, that's kind of a cartoony. Yeah. It looks like art. Now, so what Prisma is doing, which is different, is it's not doing it on the phone. Ironically, now that Apple's saying, hey, we're going to do everything in phone for your privacy, Prisma actually sends it to the Prisma servers, where their servers process it. That's Mondrian, which
that's the Mondrian of my. Can you tell which apps those are?
Yeah, you sort of can. It's kind of cool.
Look, there's the Twit app.
And they say they're using artificial intelligence?
That's what they say, neural network. So it's they're taking the style like a Van Gogh or of Mondrian, and then taking the somehow they've taken the information out of that art.
Right.
And put it into new art. I think it's interesting because it kind of asks that question, like, can artificial intelligence create art?
Yeah, you could say that. Although I think that's putting kind of a more a trendy glaze on something that really has been around for a while. I have a lot of apps, including, ironically, one named Glaze, that do something similar. They'll take a picture and they'll transform it. So actually, I should go back and show you the original picture here, and then you can see what's happening. So this is a picture of Barry Sherbet. You know, it's a very simple picture. I think that these programs, by the way, do better with simple pictures for some reason. This has a lot of styles in it, and some of them are just kind of crazy wild like that. And this is not a filter. You could tell it's using lines and contours in the picture to make it look like something else. And in some cases, like a Van Gogh, or this is kind of a pointillist style. So these are very much look like real media. You know, I've been using this program for quite a while. I have a picture of Lisa that I took, probably with my camera phone, and I don't think it had to be with a great camera. That's another thing that's great about these. It doesn't really matter. And she was in the bathtub. It was a picture from behind. Her hair is up. It was a nice picture, but when I turned it into a watercolor, it looked like real art. And we actually printed it out, 19 by 14, and framed it, and it's in our house. And it really is beautiful. So I think what you need to do with all of these is play with them and see if you like the effect. Now, one thing you mentioned with Prisma is the watermark.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you how to get rid of that. Because I know I see a lot of people posting Prisma pictures, and it says in the lower right-hand corner, Prisma.
And you can get rid of that.
Just go to the settings.
Oh, okay. So
So we'll show it on your phone because that's probably what you do the most.
Okay, I guess.
With. And that right hand icon there is
settings.
There you go.
So enable watermark.
Yeah,
I just
turn
take that
off, and you're not going to say Prisma anymore.
Save artworks automatically. I want to.
Now that's it. Well, be careful, because what'll happen is every single time you do a new effect, it'll save it. Chuck took me a little bit off guard when I flipped that switch, because then all of a sudden I had a lot of Prisma images.
Oh, like every time.
But it lets you kind of quickly go through images and just sit, not worry about whether you like them. Because sometimes it's hard. You look at it and go, I don't know, do I really like that? It saves them all automatically to your camera roll. And then, but at some point you're probably going to want to delete them, because I got like 16 versions of the same image over and over again. I like Prisma. I think the pencil drawing effect is quite good.
Yeah, the Heisenberg. I tweeted that out of you. It was...
The nice thing is these are free.
Right. The app is free. All of them are free.
In the case of some of them, like this Glaze, there are free effects, and then you can buy additional effects. I really like the thick oil. This is almost like Van Gogh. You feel like it's an oil painting. You can actually see the oil paint on that. And I think that's a pretty neat effect. But that's just one of a number of programs. Here's another one, Tangled. And like Prisma has one slider. You turn the effect on or off. This one has a lot more. So you can really, kind of mess with the overall effect. Not just the total effect, like Prisma, it takes a little while to get the effect. See, that was probably not the direction I wanted to go.
Well, Prisma you can adjust slightly, too, by pinching and zooming.
Yeah, okay. So does that change the crop?
It changes how much is... how the intensity of the...
This is the one we did Lisa's watercolor with. You can see that's a picture of Ozzy that I took, and it's been turned into a watercolor. And I think it's a really nice effect. All of these that I'm showing do it on the computer. So one big difference with Prisma is it's sending out to their server. So you can't use Prisma if you're offline. And it will use some bandwidth. So if you're using Prisma while you travel, you should be aware of that. You should wait till you get back to the hotel and do those effects on Wi-Fi.
Oh, good point. Yeah. So since it is free, do you think that they are taking your images and doing something with them?
Well, I can't imagine what they would do that would make them money.
Well,
I think
if they're an AI company, wouldn't lots of images benefit them?
Maybe they're collecting information. That could very well be. It also is the case that most of these are free, but they offer additional in-app purchases. And you know what? That's a time-honored way of making. See how this is building the image? I mean, it really is, in effect, painting it. I don't know how that's different from Prisma. I mean, maybe behind the scenes, what Prisma's doing is more sophisticated. I say just own them all, and see what the effects are and whether you like them, because they all have kind of somewhat different effects. You know, Photoshop. Somebody's pointing out Reverb Mic in our chat. I like that one. See, that's that's kind of more abstract, but you could still tell it's Ozzy.
You mentioned that Pokemon Go got in the way of Prisma, so I Prisma'd this the Pokemon Go failed server failure picture.
I like that. That's a great image.
That's the one that we get a lot.
Doesn't that look great? That looks like a Diego Rivera mural,
so
right?
So if they had that, I wouldn't be so upset every time I
put that in the Pokemon on the post office wall.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
The day the Pokemon failed.
I have another very similar one called Enlight. Have you heard that? That one's $3.99. So hopefully it does something better, because these other ones we talked about were free. Enlight has it's a lot of the same painting features. Let's start a new project here with this picture. So I can use painting features like you were saying, like those other ones. That's nice. So pretty similar. It even looks the same. Like maybe it is.
So I'm not really sure that what Prisma's doing, it's funny how it became so viral. I'm really not sure how different it is.
Enlight also has, you can add text
That's
to
cool.
your images.
I like that.
You want to use that as your profile picture?
This is another painting program. It's called Brushstroke. Similar idea. And lots of different styles. So, you know, if you like Prisma, I do feel like Prisma is doing something somewhat different. This is a very Prisma-looking result, though, don't you think?
Good.
And this has lots of far more settings than Prisma does. You know, I can change the temperature. I could change the shadows. And I could do a lot of Photoshop-style retouching here. So I think that Prisma's great, but don't stop
right
at Prisma. I have a whole folder of photo retouching apps. In fact, in some ways at this point, you know, you could take one picture, spend the rest of the day generating a variety of artworks with that picture. But I have to say, and I'm pretty sure it was Waterlog, the watercolor I made of that image, which is a somewhat indifferent image as a photo, but it hangs on our wall at home. I love it. Every time I see it, I say, wow. You know, I couldn't paint that. But if I were a painter, I would have loved to have made that painting. It just feels really great. I love it. It's a kind of a kind of dreamy portrait. You don't see her face. It's just her back. And it's just beautiful. And it's a little abstract. Maybe because it's a photo, it's too real. And having it be more of a watercolor makes it more dreamy and kind of romantic, and I like that feeling.
Yeah.
So, these are fun to play with.
I have one more before we move on. It's called Unite.
You don't really need talent anymore.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You just need an iPad.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Unite?
No.
It unites two photos, which is also something probably any graphic designer could do. So I did this one to show you. I was still thinking about you on vacation.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's you.
What? Really? That was like the nightmare before Christmas. Wow.
So this one is kind of complicated, but, you know, it's. Yeah, I tried to put you underwater, and then I realized that looked a little macabre. But, I think.
Well, fortunately, in that one, I look like I'm floating, but I bet you could get me under the water if you really hated me.
Put you under the water in there, but I won't because I want to keep my job. There. But this one is a little harder to do. But, you unite two pictures, and then I did not do this, but this is somebody
else did. What this really underscores is that we're in the era of computational photography, and it's changing everything. And I'm kind of jokingly saying you don't need talent, but really, with these programs, you can be very creative without having to learn how to paint, without even maybe not take a photograph that's kind of indifferent, as most of mine are, and turn it into something that you really enjoy. I like this a lot.
So we'll stop being creative. We'll stop working. The robots will take over.
No. We're still being creative, but we don't have to actually learn a skill.
Okay.
It's creativity.
We don't have
without,
to work at it.
Without work.
Okay. Awesome.
Some might say that's not for real creativity, but I say Oh, pshaw. That's twice now I've used the word pshaw in this show.
Well, we got some news and we can talk about some updates. But first, let's talk about another way we can use computers to help us through our day.
I got a call from Quicken Loans this morning.
You did?
Yeah, Rocket Mortgage. These guys are awesome. So the idea is, if you're buying a house, you've done this more than once.
Twice.
And if you're refinancing, there's a lot of paperwork. Remember that?
Yes.
And they want your pay stubs and tax returns, and you have to print all this stuff out, and you kind of carry boxes in to the loan officer. And it's not fun. So Quicken Loans, these guys know what they're doing, have created something called Rocket Mortgage. It's all online. It's home mortgage lending from the 21st century. Fast, it's powerful. You don't have to get up from your couch. You could do it on your iPad. You could do it on your iPhone. And instead of, you know, searching through stacks of old files and paperwork, you just, you know, push a button and you share your bank statements. You share your pay stubs. And the other side is great, too, because not only do you send them the information they need quickly and easily, they can use the same technology to design a custom solution just for you, tailored to your particular financial situation. And because you don't have to get up from the couch, it's fast, it's easy, it all the pain is gone. So whether you're buying a new home, shopping for a new home, get pre-qualified. It really is the way nowadays. We're in a seller's market, at least here in California. If you go in, though, pre-approved, that makes you much more desirable. They say, oh, I'll consider your offer. Refinancing, too. Why go through all that crazy paperwork? If you're looking to refinance to buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today. It's quickenloans.com/iOS today. quickenloans.com/iOS today. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans for their support of iOS today. Just put a pin in it so the next time you're buying a house, Leo told me about it. Rocket Mortgage.
All right, it's update day. Get your updates. 9.3.3. I updated my iPhone. I did not want to update my iPad before the show. So
see, I'm on
not.
10 on both of these now.
Oh,
I'm doing the public beta.
How are you? How's that going?
Mixed bag. I'm not recommending it for people, but I thought, well, let's take a chance. And for the most part, it's great. I really like the new notifications. I'm taking a little while to get used to the control center. Messages is awesome. You're going to love it. But the problem is you have to have somebody else on iOS 10 to really take advantage of it. But Lisa, I made Lisa do it so I could text her. And it's the hidden messages and the emoji and the set. It's so much fun. It's not buggy. As far as I could tell, the iOS 10 is pretty stable. The bugs come when you use applications that aren't iOS 10 ready. And well, that's getting fixed. Pokemon Go, for instance, AR didn't work. You could play it, but AR didn't work. Now it does because they update the app. And so that's what's happening is developers are playing with it and fixing it, playing it with fixing it. So it's getting better and better all the time. What are the 9-point whatever?
It's security updates,
yeah.
Bug fixes,
gotta do
just
those.
Basic stuff.
So the question you might be saying is, well, am I getting those patches if I'm in the beta? And I would think you are. Yeah. In fact, they may have been patched before you even got it.
But right? It's the beta, so you don't, I mean, you're taking
Well, there's a little bit of a risk. Yeah. I don't know how often we're getting. No, okay. The devs got beta 3 today, says Scooter X in our chat room, which means those fixes are going out to the beta channel, too. So.
There is also watchOS 2.2.2.
That's the one I want, but the one you can't get unless you're a developer.
No, watchOS 2.2.2 is basically.
Oh, I'm talking about
watchOS 3. You can't get. WatchOS 2.2.2.
Well, now I'm stuck because I'm on watchOS 2, but I bet I don't get the update because I'm on iOS 10.
Oh, like you can't update?
I'm going to try.
That's a good question.
Okay, I'll report back.
Yeah, I have to say that my Apple Watch has been doing some funny things these days. Like, it's kind of showing its age.
Like what?
The haptic feedback just stopped. So I had to restart it. And then it froze. I had to restart it again, too.
But rebooting fixed.
Yeah, rebooting fixed everything. But it just is kind of, I mean, maybe I'm just saying, like, I need the new Apple Watch.
You just wanted it, but you're not going to get it. I don't think there will be a new Apple Watch. I think they're going to stick with it this year.
This year.
There'll be new software. So let me just see if the software update shows for the Apple Watch on iOS 10. I think it might. And then I'd be able to apply it. Yeah, it does.
Oh, 2.2.2. I think it has to be. Is
yeah, I can't do it now because I have to be powered.
Yeah. To be over 50% and on your charger. But
yeah, that's the problem. Is I don't have it on the charger. Mm-hmm. I just have it on my wrist. But I'm going to download it because might as well download it, and then I'll be ready when I get home.
So how do you feel about using Apple Pay at an ATM?
Can't wait.
I know. Well, do you have Bank of America? You can do. You don't have to say. But
well, here's an interesting thing. No, but I have USAA ATMs which work everywhere. So do I have to have? If I want to use the B of A touch to get cash, do I have to use?
Do you have to be? That's a good question.
Do I have to be a B of A guy? I bet I would.
Well, FIS and Payment Alliance are just announced today that they're going to use an app that will use Touch ID. So it won't be Apple Pay, but it will be a separate app that you'll have to use Touch ID to get.
So what that means is I'd have to have USAA, my bank, put out an app that supported Touch ID. Then I could use probably B of A's Touch ID.
Probably, yeah.
I'm guessing.
So I bring this up because it's news. I mean, it's going to be the end of cards are near. But in your daily life, how do you convince people that you believe that using Touch ID or using Apple Pay is safer than using a credit card? Because I get that all the time.
It is, though, isn't it?
It is. But I find myself stumbling around explaining, and I feel like I should have a better explanation for people.
It's more private and it's safer. I could tell you how you could talk to it. So when you go to a restaurant or you buy something at a store with your physical credit card, you give them the credit card. You're giving them everything they need to use your credit card for their own purchases. You're giving them the credit card number, the expiration date. You're giving them the security code. So especially at a restaurant where the waiter takes it away, they could get that information. Sometimes they use card readers. In other words, you're giving them the keys to the kingdom. When you use the Apple Watch, the store, the merchant, never gets your credit card number or any information about you. They get a token. A long number that is uniquely identified with you and your credit account, and they can use that to get payment. So it's better because they're not getting any information about you, and they're not getting your credit card number. So it eliminates fraud, at least that kind of fraud.
And in terms of using an ATM, it's the same thing, like credit card skimmers.
Right.
You're not going to have that, that same problem.
Exactly.
So we're not handing over.
Even if somebody did an Apple skimmer, they wouldn't be able to reuse that information to get money out of the ATM.
Have people made like Apple skimmers?
No, I just made that up.
Don't do that, kids.
I bet they will. but that's the point. This is a token system. Another way to maybe help them understand it is a one-time credit card number, a number that cannot be reused, so it cannot be used against you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a pretty clear idea, isn't
it?
And boy, is that great.
I think there's just people have this idea that people can steal it from the air.
You're walking around, and if you waved your wrist around, somebody'd steal money from you, right?
Or, into it.
Can't do it.
Nothing is 100% safe, but, yeah. Okay, so Research Kit came out last March. Lots of universities have been using it for studies. But GlaxoSmithKline is the first company to use it, the first big pharma, like drug company, to use it. They have a new app that will help people with rheumatoid arthritis. They're studying people with rheumatoid arthritis in hopes that they will help them. So it's 300. They're looking for 300 people over 3 months. There's an app you can download now. I have it. I don't have rheumatoid arthritis yet. But we can see. I can walk through that.
Are you planning?
I'm not planning. It's not on my bucket list.
It's not good.
Yeah. So
this is how you'd apply for the study. So the thing to understand about HealthKit is right now it's not for end users. It's not a benefit for end users directly. You can't use it to monitor your rheumatoid arthritis. It's being used for research. But that's in the long run, absolute benefit to all of us.
So, it just stopped me, obviously, when I said I didn't have rheumatoid arthritis. Want me part of the study.
Get lost.
So they're going to use the sensors in the iPhone, I think, to be able to tell, and, probably your feedback as well. But my question for you, Leo Laporte, is what do you think about, the barrier for entry is kind of high. You have to have an iPhone. You have to be able to afford the lowest iPhone is $400.
It's always been high, right? I mean, if you want to participate in medical testing, that's 300 people out of 300 million. It's always been a very small number of people that get to do it. So, and there's no, by the way, there's no benefit to you. It's just a lot of work on your part. You're going to be answering questions. How did you feel today? What was your level of pain?
Right. So it's a volunteer project.
Yeah. You can't volunteer.
Well, I'm not saying that the barrier to entry is... I mean, what I'm saying is that, you know, it's people that don't have disposable income if they don't have
rich
an iPhone.
People.
Right. Which I think that, I mean, to your point, studies are often on university campuses.
Right.
And
it's,
so those
by the way,
are.
It wouldn't be the only way that... they'd be doing this. The Glaxo would be doing this.
No,
they'd be
but
doing
it is. I think it is. It's a test. It's a test case. Will this work?
Right.
Will we use research kit?
Well, as
will...
you said, there's. You know, I mean, it's. You know, I've never been asked to be involved in a medical study.
Not when you were in college. You didn't do it for money.
I did a lot of things for money, but not that. No.
That's what I did for money in college.
Did you really?
Research studies. Yes.
I guess, you know, you could do this. I did it more for fun, but they'd give you like $10 to do a psych study, right?
Yeah.
It was usually some dopey undergraduate thing, right?
Yeah,
I guess I did a few of those, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't much money.
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't, but it was a lot back in those days.
Right? I did it more because, like, it's kind of fun to do these little, like, be a rat in a maze kind of stuff. When I was a kid, my parents volunteered me. Speaking of rats and mazes.
Wow, we're really getting this like fresh air. When your parents volunteered you for a study?
I broke the machine.
Oh.
They said, we never thought anybody would be so good at this. And we're
good
we're,
at what?
Whatever. It was weird. You sat. I said, okay, you're in a... God, I dimly remember this. I was probably 10, you know. You go in a booth, sealed room. And there's a screen, and it's some sort of weird logic test. I couldn't even recreate it now. They show you like images, and then you have to do something. And something clicked in my brain where I just kind of, it's kind of like a really good game now where they don't tell you the rules and, you know, like the room, and you have to just kind of figure. It was very much like that. And something clicked that I got it, and I just was going, bzz, bzz, bzz. And then then at some point the lights came back on, and they came in, and they said, you broke the machine. Can you come back next week?
Like, because you were too smart?
Yeah, they said, we really didn't. Now, this isn't because I'm so smart. It's because they didn't design it well, I guess. Although I felt bad because my sister did, too, and she didn't break the machine.
Okay, so on Twit, a couple weeks ago, you were talking to Jason Heiner about his book, and you said, this is as close to a memoir as I'll get. And I want to say that I am happy to write your memoir at any time.
All right, you're
and
hired.
That will be chapter one. When your parents volunteered
when
you for a study.
I broke the machine.
Okay, you heard it here first. I'm writing his memoir.
Actually, that could be my epitaph on my gravestone. He broke the machine.
All right, so do you want your photo to be featured in Apple's Shot on an iPhone campaign?
Yeah, how can I do that?
I
have to take a really good photo. I do know some people who have been.
You do?
Yeah.
TechCrunch had a whole write-up on how you do this. First, take a great photo.
Instagram, right?
Yes, tag it on Instagram. Tag it mercilessly so you annoy all your friends to no end. And shoot on the most recent iPhone, they say. That will help you.
Yeah, because they don't want shot on an iPhone 5S.
Shot on an iPhone 4.
Yeah, yeah.
And then check your email, because they profile a guy who, like, doesn't ever check his email, and he saw it, and he was like, this looks interesting, because he wouldn't say what the agency, you know, they go through an agency. This guy had to sign an NDA and not say who contacted him.
Oh, that's well, they probably don't want to be bugged, right?
No, I'm sure they don't.
So there's a guy, he's in our chat room regularly. His name is Anthony Tortoriello. He's a photographer based in Hawaii. Took a gorgeous, you might have even seen it, was on a billboard. I think it was shot on iPhone 6, so it was a couple of years ago. Picture of a sea turtle underwater. It's gorgeous. And he said, I just posted it on Instagram, and they called me. He didn't intend to get it. He didn't even know they were going to do the campaign. I think this is when they first started doing it. So that's how I know, yeah.
Yeah, so tag it.
Yeah.
That's how.
It's pretty cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Do they pay you, I wonder?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm assuming you would get jobs from...
Here's the image that Anthony took. You might have seen it. It was in the billboard.
So is it using water shot? What's
Well, that? This is an underwater shot. So he had an iPhone underwater. He had a housing called water shot that you could put the iPhone in that will let you shoot underwater. That's why it's kind of, you know, maybe that wasn't the best billboard, because I think that might tempt people to start taking their iPhone 6 underwater, which, of course... You can't do.
Well, allegedly. Well, the 6.
The 6. I think that's the one I broke, isn't it?
By underwater.
Maybe it was a 5 when I dunked it. So that's pretty cool. Anthony's a great photographer. I really like his work.
I got one more piece of news. There's a bot for that now. The Republican convention is this week. And BuzzFeed has a bot that will do the reporting for reporters. So I signed up for it.
It write the story?
It doesn't write the story. It does the reporting, like the gathering of information. Oh. So it's using Facebook Messenger. So here, it's BuzzFeed News if you want to follow.
Oh, this is Buzzy. I wanted to know about this.
So there's Buzzy right there. Let me see if I
can. I saw this because I've had such a bad experience with bots. Get them to stop bothering me. They harass me day and night.
Okay.
So I didn't want to sign up for another one.
So this is Buzzy. Yeah, I know. This one hasn't harassed me. So he just started saying, hi, my name is BuzzBot. I'm collecting stories. And so it wants to know if you're in Cleveland on the ground. I didn't lie. I said, yes, I'm from home. Good for now. Got it for now. We'd love to see the emoji that best captures your feelings about the convention.
Are you an angry red emoji? I didn't even know that emoji existed.
I know. I don't want to get political, but I don't.
Nice emoji.
Make America safe again. I'm not a fan of that.
No, I think America should be dangerous.
I want America to be just as dangerous as it always is for everyone. So then it just gave me some news. So I guess if you are in Cleveland and you want to be a reporter,
you
can participate.
Because you know where the things are going.
Right.
You know, this convention is fascinating to me because there are so many ways you could watch this. Remember for a while, when I was a kid, all the networks, except for ABC, which was too dinky a network to do it, had covered a gavel. They called it gavel-to-gavel coverage. They'd turn the cameras on, and Chet Huntley and David Brinkley would be sitting in the skybox, Walter Cronkite here at the Democratic National Convention. He'd be sitting there, and you could watch it. And I was a political junkie, so I mean, even as a kid, I would watch it like as much as I could. I'd get home from school, I'd turn it on, I'd watch it till midnight. And ABC, this is very famous, ABC couldn't afford this. So that's when they got William F. Buckley and Gore Vidal to do their famous debate. They said, well, we're going to have to do something else, in which William F. Buckley very nearly hauls off and slugs Gore Vidal in the nose. He says, you say that again, I'm going to punch in the nose. And then we went through a kind of a fallow period where the conventions weren't that interesting. They were pretty well staged. And the network said, we'll just do the nightly news and that'll be it. We live now in the best time ever if you're a political junkie. You can watch on YouTube. You can watch on Twitter. You can even watch on Twitch, twitch.tv. Right now, live gavel-to-gavel coverage with no commentary. You can get all the commentary if you're watching on Twitch on the side in the chat room. You can go to YouTube Live and watch it. You can get, you know, Buzzy to send you stuff.
BitTorrent TV, you can use that.
You could be in a control room and seeing everything happening in a way. And the real challenge is how do you, I've been asking people, well, how are you going to watch it? Because everybody can have a practically unique way of watching it. Or not watching it at all, though that's going to be challenging since it's coming from so many different places. One of the things I did find interesting is if you go to the front page of Facebook or you go to the front page of Twitter or you go to the front page of YouTube or you go to the front page of Twitch.tv, no mention of it. But if you know enough to go to YouTube.com/live or Twitch.tv/GOP convention, if you know the right URL, you can go right to it. But they are not, at least maybe not today, promoting it as much as I thought they would. And Twitter says, right, that they're streaming CBS. I defy you to go to Twitter.com and find it. It's not on Moments. It's not anywhere. I don't understand where their live coverage is. So maybe there's a special URL. In any event, fascinating, I find. And as a political junkie, I will be watching it. But my emoji would be like that face that's looking in 15 different directions. Emojis. What?
That's good. All right, I've got an email from Mike. Mike sent this a few weeks ago, but I was out, so we're answering it today. He's from Sydney. He writes, I am pulling my hair out at the moment. I'm looking for a tool, an app, a website, a blog. Not sure what. Meeting the following needs. Simple to use for all adult family members, various ages and IT skills, cross-platform, PC, smartphone, tablet, iOS, Android, Windows. Everyone can add notes, photos, documents, important, can send emails.
You don't ask for much, do you?
The application is for all the family members to keep each other up to date with their visits to my mom, who has just moved into an aged care facility. She's 92. The idea is to share any thoughts, conversations, developments, docs, etc., to assist in coordinating our individual interactions with nurses, staffs, conversations with my mom, etc. So we talked about this a while back. You said Squarespace, WordPress, Blogger.
Google Wave.
Google Keep?
No, Wave. I was making a joke. Google Wave would have been, had they not killed it.
Oh, yeah, had it not violated.
You know what I'm doing? It's an interesting experiment.
Experiments.
So there's a Mac-ish way to do this, but it may not. You say you're an IT guy, so maybe. If you've got an old Mac lying around, you can download for $35, I think, from the App Store, OS X Server. Which is, it doesn't change OS X, it just adds some server capabilities. And it turns your Mac, and you'll have to do port forwarding and, you know, various things. If you're an IT guy, you know what I'm talking about, to put the server up in your house. But you then it has a wiki or a web page, shared calendars. It has a bunch of shared spaces that you can give everybody a log into. You could host it so it would be private. And it wouldn't cost you anything except a server, OS X server, for $35, and the knowledge that you'd have to put that online. The advantage of that, though, is you're not then. I mean, yeah, we talked about Google Keep and ways you could use other people's servers to do this. And for most people, that's what you're going to do. But if you want, you could do it as your own server. I'm going to do even a deeper experiment. I'll probably do a segment on it, not on iOS today, but there's software out there called Sandstorm. At sandstorm.io, it requires Linux and a Linux server, and I've actually got a Linux server set up, and it's going to do even more than that. It basically does all of Google Cloud, but it's local, and you can give people logins to it. So I've got a URL, a custom domain name, and you can have shared everything. So there's including photo albums. So you could roll your own, in effect, Google Cloud, but for people who don't want to do that, I think Google Cloud is the right solution. There's
Google
shared.
Keep.
Well, not just Keep.
Oh, just the whole cloud.
So there's shared photos, right? Shared albums and photos. It used to be Apple's Photos had a wonderful sharing feature. They took it out. I don't know if they've put it back now, but I do know Google Photos does that. And you can send a link to everybody and say, you have access to this folder. Now upload pictures of Grandma as you go there. The text could be, and pictures too, but not as easily in Keep. Right? Mm-hmm. Audio in Keep. Mm-hmm. If you get Grandma to tell a story of, you know, when she first met Grandpa, record that, put it up on Google Keep. So the Google Cloud is a way to do that, but you have to, A, you know, understand that that's, you know, being stored on somebody else's server. So maybe it's not as private as you'd like, although it is, you know, password protected. Only you and your family can see it. And B, as you know, with Google, sometimes they kill services, and it could be one of the, you know, Keep. You could put this in Keep, but 20 years from now, will Keep still be around? I don't know.
That's true, yeah. I created a Keep for Mike's mom, so you can take a look at that.
Oh, nice.
Now.
I love Keep.
Here it is. So I had links here. You probably can't see that.
I use Keep all the time for exactly this.
So here's a link. Here's a picture of mom. Is she okay? Take a look at that photo. She's starting to look not so good.
Mom looks like maybe she's half Labrador? What is going on?
That's a little face swapping I did with my dog.
Uh-huh. You know, by the way, that is a violation of Snapchat rules to do face swapping with non-human species.
It's not really.
No, I'm joking.
So
it's
yeah,
creepy,
like you
though.
Were saying, the pictures, you can add sound.
Isn't that great, the
notes.
Sound? I love that idea.
And
record
you can,
some stuff.
Yeah, and then you can add collaborators.
The downside to this is it's kind of. It lives in Google Keep. Everybody can get to it via the web. So it answers your criteria of anybody can see it from any device. But the downside is it's, you know, it's just there on Google Keep. I don't know.
That's true. I mean,
you can share this, right? So
right,
you see so the collaborators. You don't all have to have the same
right,
Google account.
And you can, yeah. But, I mean, that would be another way, I guess, to start a Google account like Mike's mom. And then you'd
No, don't do that. Just add collaborators. That way everybody gets to put it in there. So Apple Photos has some of this capability.
Yeah, you can share.
You can share an album. When you share an album, is it read-only, or can you share it in such a way that people can also upload to it?
People can upload. So here's a shared album when my parent, when we went away from
everybody
added photos. Like, we all added photos.
Yeah, see, that's nice. If there's an event, a wedding, you say to everybody, here's the... You send them an invite to their Apple address?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the same. It's not text. It's not audio. Or I guess it would be video.
Yeah, you just send name the album and then you share it. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so.
If it's just photos.
Apple's iCloud, Google's Cloud, and there are a variety of things you could do in Google Cloud. Mm-hmm.
Slack? There are a lot of ways to do this. Pretty highly technical people, I think, but that you could do it Slack. I think that I suggested Slack because he wanted emails to automatically go in there.
OS X server would do that.
Yeah,
so would Slack,
Okay.
And then let's not forget Evernote.
Yes.
Evernote, I don't know if there's if the sharing in Evernote is. See, it's one thing to say we're going to create an account, everybody uses the same login. I don't know if you really want to do that. I think it's better to invite people and have a collaborative environment. I don't know if you could do that with Evernote very well.
Dropbox also.
Same thing.
Yeah. Okay, Jim writes, you mentioned in your latest podcast, Writing Tools for the iPad, that you can display your ICE information on the lock screen by hitting the emergency button. I can't find anything in the settings to do this. Am I missing something? I would really love to have that. So this emergency contact, what is ICE?
In case of emergency.
ICE.
And Jason Snell was talking about
this. Okay, so I couldn't find it either, and I think you have to first create it.
Well, the one thing we were talking about is this is part of a feature of 10. So in the health app in 10, I think we were talking about the fact
that... Well, so you create a medical ID. Let's see if I can do it on the iPad.
There's a way to do this.
I think you could do it. So I guess the health app is not on the... Okay, so on my iPhone, if you can see that, create medical ID. And then I would...
Yeah, there you
press
go.
Press that.
That's your
put
ICE
in
information.
My medical conditions.
Yeah. The key is to be able to see this on a lock screen.
Emergency contacts and what I'm allergic to, my blood type. And then I would say done. And
so
then.
This is the thing I think you want to know. So lock your phone.
Right.
And then don't unlock it.
Okay.
So use your pinky or something. And you'll see the emergency dialer show up. That's for all cell phones are required to have the ability. I don't know why.
Oh, I know it goes there.
There you go.
And then we press
emergency.
You go. And then there's my medical ID.
Yeah.
Right there.
So all
you have
cell
to
phones,
create one first.
Right.
Because it didn't show up.
All cell phones required to have this emergency 911 capability or whatever country you're in. And that's where ICE is hidden. Now, really, remember, the key on this is that it's first responders know how to get there. You don't have to know how to get there. But trust me, the first responders know. And now you know, too. You go to the emergency dialer. You press emergency. And then you'll see your ICE information.
But you won't see it unless you create it first.
You don't have it there. It doesn't.
Right. You have to create it first.
And the health app has all of that information.
Mm-hmm. That's where you go. Go to the health app, fill out all your information, save it. Then
it doesn't matter if you know how to get there.
Yeah.
The paramedic will.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Good point. All right, we're going to have
By the way, the paramedics tell me the most important thing to put in there is a contact number for your emergency contact. Don't leave that out. It's great to have your blood type and allergies and all that stuff. But after we talked about this, I spoke to a number of first responders. They said the most important thing is we want to call your emergency contact, your wife, your husband, your grandma, whoever it is that's in charge.
Mm-hmm. Not just the last person you called, because who knows who that is.
Right, because they're going to talk to them and say, okay, well, you know, and they'll ask about, you know, how does he respond to this? And, you know, does he eat a lot of donuts, stuff like that.
Exactly. Does he lose his stuff a lot? For example,
I had it right here.
Does he lose his stuff?
We're talking about Tracker.
Do you lose your stuff a lot?
I don't anymore. I did. I used to lose my keys all the time. And then I got the Tracker. Have you been using it?
I have. I've got it on my keys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were at the beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always bring stuff to the beach. It gets covered over by sand. You walk in away. You forget it. The Tracker's two-way, too. Because so the thing you could leave there would be the phone. You press the button on the Tracker. The phone makes a loud noise of your choice, and even if it's silenced. Ditto, you're walking away from the beach, you've left your Tracker there. I put it on my keys. Your phone will make a noise and say you're leaving. And the other thing, you can always go to the tracker app and say, where did I leave my keys? And you'll get a map and you'll see the last place your tracker saw your keys. The tracker works with iOS. It works with Android. It uses Bluetooth. And by the way, there it is. It's little. That's the new Tracker Bravo. It's a tiny, light, anodized aluminum device, perfect for your key ring. They have a weatherproof, waterproof, like rubber thing you can put it into. It makes it great for dogs and cats. It's light enough to put on a cat, to put it on their collar so you could track your cats. The beauty part is, not only, so it's Bluetooth, so if you get more than 100 feet away, well, it's not going to see it anymore. But anybody who's got the tracker software, and that's 1.5 million devices out there, anytime they walk by those keys on the beach, it will send a ping to your tracker software saying, this is where your keys are. So, and it's in effect, you're enlisting 1.5 million trackers to find everything. Your phone can track up to 10 devices at once. It's battery powered. It's not rechargeable. So that battery lasts a year, easy to replace. You can even put a laser engraved message on the Tracker Bravo. So if you want to, you know, put it on Spot, you can put, you know, Spot's name and phone number, that kind of thing, or return information, which is handy. They just introduced something new, too, the Tracker Atlas. It works with your Tracker Bravo or other third-party Bluetooth trackers to pinpoint your items on a floor plan of, get this, your house. So this solves a problem, because if you know your tracker's in your house, but you don't know where in the house, now with the Tracker Atlas, you know it's under the cushion in the living room in the couch. Save time and energy. You just ask the Tracker Atlas where your item is. You'll instantly get an answer. No need to search ever again. No need to say, where are my keys or briefcase or guitar or laptop or pet? The hardest thing you'll ever have to do is find their website because they spell it funny. THETRACKR.com. No E at the end there. TheTracker.com. And use the promo code iOS today. We got a great deal for you. 30% off your entire order. That's THETRACKR, thetracker.com, and the promo code iOS today for 30% off your order. So get a dozen of them. Get one for friends and family. The Tracker. Track your belongings with your smartphone today. Your search is over. Hey, I like this look.
That's a good hat for you.
I like this look. I might wear this home. Oh, mm-hmm. Are you ready to go to the, what did we just have? The
Rivertown Revival.
Mm-hmm. You're ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready to go back in time.
Back in time because it
Saturday.
Was last weekend.
Yeah.
Did you go?
I did not go. I went to see Ghostbusters instead.
How'd you like it?
Loved it. Loved it. Two thumbs up.
I really want to see it.
It's excellent.
And it makes me so mad that people say, oh, women aren't funny. It can't be as good as the original. Now, admittedly, the original had some of the best comedians of that time.
Well, I think Kristen Wiig is one
of
the best comedians.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy? Mm-hmm. Come on. And oh, I love the new...
Kate McKinnon.
Yes, Holtzman. The smart one.
Well, she was my boy's favorite. I asked them after. I was like, who's your favorite character? They said, the girl.
The other ones weren't girls?
And I said, and they were like, the ones that made all the science.
The one that made all the science stuff.
Blew stuff up. And
she was
so
awesome.
Yeah,
so I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I've only seen the bits and pieces. But it just makes me so mad that the internet decided, oh, yeah, this is you can't remake it. I can't wait to see
One part of the internet decided that.
One loud part of the internet. That's the problem. People can be louder on the internet.
They can. That's true. Yeah. But we don't always have to listen, do we?
So I'm wearing my Zorro hat.
And I'm wearing this hat.
For a reason.
Yes. This is the app cap section. Our favorite apps. And caps. And caps rhymes
I
with
thought
apps.
Your app cap was going to be Prisma, I'll be honest with you.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it wasn't.
You got something better?
I got something better. Something. Let's say your hands are wet, they're filthy, and you want to browse through your photos.
Now how many times does that happen?
All the time. This is called hands-free photo. So I'm going to go.
Is that hands like hands and Franz? H-A-N-S.
Just hands.
No photos with Hans.
Just watch.
Hands
ready?
Free.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. See.
That's not possible.
What?
How you're not even touching it?
What?
Oh, it's using the camera.
Magic.
I see the camera up in the upper right.
It's magic.
There.
They also have hands-free browser.
You don't have to do the whole thing. I bet you could just do it over the camera.
But that's not as fun.
I know. It's very Minority Report, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at that.
You can't even tell, really, that I'm not touching it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Isn't that amazing? If there is, you could buy it.
What is with you and the Snapchat?
I love that.
Jeez.
I love Snapchat. I love putting my Snapchats on Twitter.
That's why
Facebook.
The kids are all abandoning it.
Yeah, here's all my Prismas.
I like that.
So you can browse hands-free. I mean, I can't. Someone tell me a better feature for this besides having your hands covered in cupcake icing and looking at your photos. I mean, I guess there's if you don't want to get fingerprints on your. I just keep doing it. Keep doing it.
So are you getting tired yet? It's kind of like rowing a boat.
I love all filters. They don't have to be Snapchat filters.
My
so yeah, this is free.
That's scary clown Jason. What
I think
the
that's
what?
When Anthony and I switched faces.
Oh,
I'm not
gosh.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's Anthony.
That's never a good idea.
With anyone or just with Anthony?
Well, anybody not
you don't
your,
think Anthony's
not your
face...
species.
Species, you mean gender.
No, it's funny when it's somebody from a different gender.
Oh, that was
just
but
don't
the dog.
Do it with animals anymore.
Okay, that was Anthony.
Oh, no. Oh, sorry. I didn't recognize him because he had long hair.
That was my hair. All right, so it's free, and there's also a browser, and you can pay for the
dopey.
Ads to go away.
Really? Why would you want to do that?
Because I wanted to be able to do this. I wanted to amaze my friends.
Yeah, how do they do it? It's magic. That's funny. You know, they have this technology now where watch. You don't have to push a button. You just turn a page. I realize I'm dressed perfectly for this. I've got my Amish hat on.
Yes. Yeah.
Just turn the page and the picture changes.
What if your
changes.
Hands were covered in cupcake?
Oh, that wouldn't be good.
No, it'd be really bad.
You're right. We found the use case.
All right. What's cupcakes. Your up?
So this actually, and we've covered a number of programs like this. I kind of fell for an ad on Instagram for this. It's called Chatbooks. It's an iPhone app only, but I really like it. I'll show it. I guess I'll show it on the iPad so you can see it's a little bit bigger on the iPad. Let me just turn this sideways here and unlock the iPad. By the way, once you turn it sideways, it's kind of hard to find what you're trying to find. So here's a little tip. Don't turn it sideways until you open the app. Okay, here we go. Oh, boy, that's a relief. So this is the idea is it will take your Facebook or Instagram photos. You obviously have to tie it in. You get a deal on the first book, which is awesome. It immediately starts importing your books. Let's see. This is the one I just got. So I'll show you one that I'm working on. So these are pictures. And you can add photos from Instagram, Facebook. I love it that it does both Apple and Google Photos. Mm-hmm. So you really pretty much, that's everything, right? Pick the photos you want. Now, the default is to do it chronologically, which I think for a lot of people is kind of neat. Look, it's volume 9. Can you see this? So it's taken all the pictures it could find from all of those sources and sorted them into chunks. It does 60 pictures maximum. Okay, so now you may not want to use all 60 pictures. That's in the old days when we didn't do filters. We just covered ourselves with shave cream. So this is a trip to Paris.
Or stood behind in big wooden planks that you stuck your face in.
That one too. So this is a book that was automatically created. These are Instagram photos, I think, for the most part.
Oh, automatically created. That cannot be underestimated.
Right. Now, if you want to, you can mess with it. You can add to it. So I can change the cover and I can add stuff. If you're doing it from Instagram, it will, if you want, take the Instagram captions. It'll even put the location information on it. Anyway, I did a book just because I think the key is to show you what happens. Now, you can do soft cover or hard cover. I splurged. I think this was $18, which is not bad, and got the hard cover. And when you get the hard cover, you can have a spine. So you can put these like photo albums in the bookshelf and you'd see this is Life of Lisa and Leo. 2015 and 2016. It's nicely printed. You know, it's got an end piece. And then, so you see it has the date. It has the caption. And if there's a location, it'll put the location up there. And then now we have a little photo book of our trip down the river last summer.
I love it.
And, you know, I just... The problem is with digital photography, I have them. But there's something about having it printed out that makes it just more browsable.
Yes.
Right? And I think the cost is pretty good. Now, I did edit it a little bit. I took out the pictures I didn't want to keep, and that's very easy to do.
Oh,
you like that? That's some strangers.
Oh, I thought that was your wedding.
Yeah, no, that's just strangers getting married. It does look romantic, though. Huh? There's some sausage, also romantic.
Aww,
sausage and beer.
Look at that sausage.
Yeah. So here's, by the way, Grand Duke Wilhelm, the beginning of World War One. I staged it. Mm. I staged it. This is Budapest, the parliament. Beautiful. Budapest is a beautiful city, especially at night. So this is a wonderful memory for us. And it was only about $16. This is Chat Books. The app is free. So it's, you know, what I was just download it and let it just suck up all your photos. Because what you're going to get, which is kind of cool, is this is kind of chronological history of your life in albums. Going back, that's the first Instagram picture I ever took.
Oh, who is that?
That's Ken Shepherdson. It was our engineer in chief.
Oh.
So this goes back, what was that? That's like 8 years or something. This is So isn't that kind of fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2010, seven years, wow, 6 years
ago.
That
was a long time ago. I love that. And we should do a little review of a bunch of different ones, because there's so many. And I fall for the Instagram ads too.
Yeah. So what I want you to do is look closely at this. So from a distance, this looks pretty good. But I'm going to give it to you now, because I want you to look at the quality of it, especially that cover picture. And you can see it's kind of pixelated, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You see?
A little bit.
And then go inside. So what I'm looking for is something that's going to really do high quality, like Blurb. If you did Blurb, it would look beautiful. These are okay. It's printed. You can tell it's kind of a little less expensive
and it's
printing
small,
process.
So even bigger, it would look.
You wouldn't want it any bigger than that.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that, especially at the price. It's very affordable. But there are other ways. Of course, Apple has photo books you can create in the Photos app. Lightroom has a kind of a higher quality photo capability, album capability. Lots of ways to do this. I think at some point what I'd love to do is print books from as many as we different ones as we can and pick what looks the best.
I like how it has your the things you wrote.
Yeah, that was
Instagram
all automatic. You're absolutely right. There are lots of ways to do this with a lot of effort on your part. Mm-hmm. But this I did this while I was getting my nails done.
Mm. Totally worth it. And yeah, you've already put in the work writing the caption, so may as
right.
well save
right.
that.
Right. So yeah. It literally took me 10 minutes on my iPhone to print to get the book. And it takes took about 10 days to get it. Chat Books, and it's iPhone only. It's not iPad, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the idea is that you just would do this as I did on the kind of, hey, let's see what happens. And I was pretty pleased with the result.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's not like I'm not going to have the digital copies. There'll be higher quality copies. But this, I can put on the bookshelf. And if, you know, your kids are probably more likely to look at those than the...
Right. I try to get my kids to watch photos, look at photos on the Apple
Nobody
TV, you
that.
Know, and you can't
yeah.
even, you can't.
Yeah.
And it turns out the only pictures you remember are the ones that you posted on Facebook or Instagram.
Like that. I can't get that out of my head.
Okay, there we go. That's
That's terrifying, too.
That one's better.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, folks.
That's sometimes how I feel inside.
Wow. You don't look that way. You look happy. You don't look like, you know, wait till they get a load of me. All right.
That's it.
Nice
We've
job.
Done it. Yes. We'll see you next week, and we'll talk about something else on iOS.
iOS today. Mm-hmm. You want to tell people how to...
Email me, megan@twit.tv. I love your feedback. If you have topic suggestions, if you have questions for me or for Leo. If you have questions for us, I'll be hosting Screensavers this Saturday with you.
Oh, that's right. I can't wait.
So if you have questions, we can answer them.
We're looking
even
for those
before
too.
Monday. Yeah. We can answer them on Saturday. So megan@twit.tv.
Fantastic. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And we will see you next Monday about 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, 20:30 UTC on iOS Today.